from the NFL to the college ranks. We are joined right now by a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. That's not a good sign. Pete Thamel is my guest. Pete, are you there? I don't think he's there.
I'm here now, Jim.
Oh, there you go. Hey, Pete, how you doing? Sorry about that. We have a new system. Good, good. Good to visit with you, Pete. Thanks. Hey, Pete, take me back to Saturday night and Sunday morning. Before the college football playoff seeds were announced, Pete, what kind of thoughts were you having about where the committee might go with that and their approach to a fourth team?
Well, I was dead wrong, Jim, because I was reading the committee's criteria. And it basically came down to this disparity. The committee needed to decide whether or not Alabama was unequivocally better than Ohio State as a candidate. One loss Alabama, two loss Ohio State. And the tension was Alabama had no great wins, and Ohio State had one horrific loss. And in my mind, reading it, they were both very flawed. And I wouldn't be ready to stand on the table for any of them. So I thought the way they were clustered and talking to people who understand how the rules work, I thought Ohio State would get in because of its better wins and its conference championship. But I was wrong. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was the first time we really had significant drama in that space of selecting teams, Jim. And, I mean, the committee made a statement putting two SEC teams in as a paradigm changer.
You know, Pete, that's really funny because that's pretty much the way I'm approaching this. Myself, instead of trying to formulate an argument for either one of them, I'm just arguing against both of them. But why don't we just go ahead and play along, Pete. Is Alabama, quote, in your mind, are they, quote, unequivocally better than Ohio State?
I don't think so because you have to beat someone. And they really hadn't beaten anyone. Now, look, when they beat Florida State, when Francois was healthy, that certainly was a good win at the time. But Florida State self-destructed. You know, they self-destructed so much their coach just got a $75 million contract, right? May we all self-destruct like that,
right,
Jim. But Florida State was not a good football team. It was a 500 football team that had to basically scam an extra game to get to a bowl. And so because of that, Alabama won. They thumped LSU, and they won a tight game against a good but not great Mississippi State team on the road. So it would be hard to say they were unequivocally better. But that is what the committee decided. It was interesting they went into statistics when you listen to Kirby Hocutt, that they went into where Alabama's defensive statistics were and such. I felt like the first time they really had gotten that granular in making an explanation. And I'm with you, Jim. I don't think it's a bad choice. There were two mediocre options. I'm just surprised that they did it.
Pete Thamel joining us. Now, as you pointed out, Pete, if you were to give truth serum to everybody involved in the development of the college football playoff, how much of that stems from the Alabama-LSU-BCS championship game?
Yeah, and that's what I wrote on Saturday night going into the game. Like, no one talks about this out loud, but the reason we have a college football playoff right now, after decades of ridiculous resistance and excuses, is because that was, I believe, the sixth of seven in a row national BCS titles won by the SEC. Alabama played LSU in that title game, and the curmudgeons around college sports that had resisted a playoff swallowed hard and said, boy, we need to create a little bit of different system here, because if we don't, there's a potential for an SEC monopoly, because the SEC was just humming at the time. Now, the SEC has reverted to the mean, and quite frankly, it's a hot mess right now. When you look at Tennessee, when you look at Arkansas, when you especially look at Ole Miss with the significant NCAA sanctions that they just had, the SEC is not what it used to be. And that doesn't mean Alabama isn't good or Alabama can't win, but the league itself, top to bottom, was clearly the most dominant in college sports, and you can't say that anymore. I don't know if we have a playoff right now if Alabama doesn't play LSU in that title game.
All right, so you're right. They're not what they were, and they might have regressed to the mean, but they've got two more teams in. So knowing all of that, how do you think the folks in the Big Ten are feeling right now about the fact that a second SEC team in a not-so-great SEC was able to get in over the Big Ten champion?
Oh, they don't feel good. There's no doubt about it. I wonder, Jim, if we'd be having a different conversation right now if Johnny Dixon doesn't drop a touchdown pass for Ohio State and JT Barrett hits one of his two open guys in the end zone on the drive at the end of the half there. If that's a three touchdown game instead of a one touchdown game, is this the Cardale Jones redo where that was a somewhat tight Selection Sunday a couple of years ago. But because of the tenor of the way Ohio State beat Wisconsin, it was 50-something to nothing. I don't remember the exact final. It was different. So no, I don't think the Big Ten leaders feel good at all. And I mean, look, I think the Big Ten is a pretty solid conference right now. Penn State is back. Michigan's not great, but they were very good last year. And obviously, Michigan State is sort of the most underrated little juggernaut. It had a hiccup last year, but it's going on. So, but the Big Ten also doesn't have depth, much like right now the SEC doesn't have depth either. So if you had told me at the beginning of the season that the Big Ten champion would not get in the playoff, I would have been very surprised. And my only theory would have been that there was some cannibalization. And that's essentially what happened. Not only did Ohio State lose at Iowa, but they got thumped at Iowa. I think if they lost that game by a field goal, we may be having a different conversation as well.
I would think even a touchdown. I mean, maybe, I don't know, Pete, maybe even 10 points, but that is a different conversation.
Yeah.
Listen, before
giving
you
up
go,
double nickels is not a good look.
No, you're not overcoming that. Listen, in addition to all of this, you've been all over the coaching moves that have taken place, and they've been pretty amazing. First of all, what do you make of Scott Frost going to Nebraska? Nebraska fans obviously are absolutely delirious with that. Do you think that he can have success there, and to what degree?
Great hire, and he's a great coach, so he will have success. The challenge is going to be recruiting. There just simply aren't a lot of recruits who will play the style that Scott Frost wants to play in the greater Lincoln, Omaha, Midwest area, quite frankly. So this is going to be a drastic identity shift for Nebraska if there's going to be, you know, an up-tempo, if they're going to play the up-tempo style, which Scott Frost thrived in as an assistant at Oregon and coordinator at Oregon, and obviously super thrived in the miraculous turnaround in two seasons at UCF. The question is, where do you recruit now if you're in Nebraska? When they were in the Big 12, they had a toehold in Texas. It's a little harder to do that in the Big 10. It's just not as organic. And if you're from California, do players from California want to go all the way to Nebraska? Nebraska in its glory days cleaned up in New Jersey. There's a lot of, you're going to fly over a lot of good schools to get to Nebraska from New Jersey these days, and a lot of good schools in that league. So that's my question. As Nebraska shifts sort of from the identity under Mike Riley, which was more sort of pro-style sensibilities, to Scott Frost, where does the talent come from? That's the big question.
Hey, Pete, what about Jimbo Fisher? So he's introduced to Texas A&M today. Obviously, he's going to make a ton of dough working there. But ultimately, what was that move about? For instance, what was it that made A&M that much more attractive to him than Florida State? Is it just money?
I think $75 million is your first reason, right?
Right.
Florida State has been spinning like, we gave Jimbo everything. If I read one more thing about, we gave him a practice facility, we gave him this. Florida State is cure because Clemson has passed them as a program. It has clearly leapt past them, not only on the field but off the field. Clemson has invested more and invested smarter than Florida State has, and Florida State needs to catch up. But I think it's very hard in modern college football, Jim, to reboot. And I think it's easier to start over. And what Jimbo Fisher did was he extended his career shelf life and went and obviously chased money. But also, look, what Brian Kelly did this year to get Notre Dame back to 9-3 and in a decent bowl game and back nationally relevant and in the playoff talk, that was hard. Like, he got rid of his strength coach. He got rid of his offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Like, the entire staff changed, rebooted, and it worked. That is a unicorn, what happened at Notre Dame. When you lose momentum and have to reboot in college football these days, it's hard, and sometimes you don't have the time. Now, look, if Jimbo Fisher got fired at Florida State, they would have to pay him like $39 million. But I just think it was easier to go somewhere where you're wanted wholeheartedly and start over than try to, you know, fire assistants and change staff and reboot, because that is a very difficult process.
I think that's really interesting what you just said, that it's better or easier to start over than to reboot. One last thought then. What about Arizona State? And I want you to try and explain this to me, Pete, because they bring Herm Edwards in, and then the statement about the hiring is really interesting. Quote, the department's new leadership model will be similar to an NFL approach using a GM structure. It's a collaborative approach to managing the ASU football program that includes sport and administrative divisions, which will operate as distinct but collective units focused on elevating all aspects of Sun Devil football, end of quote. I mean, that sounds like a hell of a lot of corporate speak. What do you make of that approach? Do you even know what that means?
Sorry, not at all. What were you saying?
Yeah, right?
It's this, and I wrote this last week when his name first surfaced, which seemed like they were sort of running a trial balloon out there. I mean, I think it's going to be a disaster, Jim. Herm Edwards hasn't coached in college football since 1989. He's a smart man, and he would be a great, like, GM type to mentor kids and bring kids along. I just don't know what qualifies him to be a modern football coach. And Ray Anderson, along with, like, most mocked press release in modern college football history, also gave just an unbelievably poor press conference where he set the expectations at levels where Arizona State simply hasn't been historically. They don't have local talent. They don't have very good facilities. It is just kind of a middling Pac-12 program. And I can understand wanting to revive that, but, you know, saying second place in a weak Pac-12 isn't good enough, and we don't want to go to the Cactus Bowl. I mean, you're just, like, opening yourself for lampooning. Look, like, a lot of people lampoon everyone. Every time there's an out-of-the-box NFL hire in college football, everyone's like, well, Pete Carroll worked, and no one would have thought that would work. Well, that's our second unicorn of the day, all right? This is, you know, if this were a stock, I would short it. I just can't. It is very, very, very difficult for me to see this working, Jim. I mean, I wrote it last week. I think it's going to be a disaster. There's no more polite way to say it than that.
He is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel, my guest. Pete, great to have you on. Really appreciate the visit. Nicely done.
Hey, thank you, Jim.
Great job, Pete. Well done. I enjoyed that. Pete Thamel covering college basketball and football for Yahoo Sports. And I thought there were so many interesting things in that conversation.